Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll begin our study of Ezra with the proclamation of Cyrus. So let's turn in our Bibles to Ezra, chapter 1, verse 1, as Pastor Chuck Smith begins today's lesson.
The book of Ezra is the first of what is known as the post-captivity books. It deals with an extremely important part of the history of the nation of Israel. Their release from their captivity. Now, the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom, were taken captive by the Assyrians. And it was the practice of the Assyrians to move the people out of their native surroundings and to repopulate them in other areas to totally break down their morale and their sense of national identity. Then later, Judah, the southern kingdom, was taken captive and carried off to Babylon. So the land that God had promised his people was lying desolate or had been repopulated by other ethnic groups. When the Assyrians attempted to repopulate the northern kingdom of Israel, they had difficulty. For the wild animals began to attack the people, the villages. So they complained to the Assyrian king, and the people had said, "We don't know the customs of these people's gods. And so send some of the people to teach us the custom of their gods in order that we might worship him and stave off the attacks of these wild animals." And so some of the Israelites were brought back to teach the people who had been repopulated in the northern kingdom the worship of Jehovah. Now, these people married, intermarried, became mixed, and were known as the Samaritans. And they inhabited the area that was generally the area that belonged to Israel, the northern kingdom. Whereas the area of Judah remained pretty much desolate after the Babylonian captivity, the time has come for the word of God to be fulfilled, and thus we read in Ezra chapter 1. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, after the conquering of Babylon, Cyrus actually began his reign in about 552 BC. And so this would be the first year of the reign of Cyrus after the conquering of Babylon, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, and he made a proclamation throughout all of his kingdom and put it in writing. Jeremiah had predicted in Jeremiah 25:11 and in 29:10, he had predicted that they were going to be taken captive by Babylon, and he predicted that the period of captivity would be 70 years. Now, as you read the book of Daniel chapter 9, which took place just before this, In about 538 BC, chapter 9 of the book of Daniel, Daniel began to fast and pray and seek the Lord, having read, it says, the prophecy of Jeremiah, or realizing from the prophecies of Jeremiah that the 70 years of captivity were almost over. Daniel, who was, of course, high in the court of the Persian king, began to fast and pray and seek the Lord, making himself available to God should God have in mind using Daniel in some way for the repatriation of the people. And so he was just making himself available, and of course it was during this time of his fasting and prayer that the angel Gabriel came to him, and interestingly enough, did not give him any instructions at all as far as the place or the role that he might play in the repatriation, but did give him fantastic prophecies concerning the times that God appointed for the nation of Israel, the city of Jerusalem, and the coming of their Messiah, giving to Daniel the very year that the Messiah would be appearing. But it is interesting to me that he had been reading the prophecies of Jeremiah. He was interested in them, and he was sort of governing his life according to the prophecies. And I think that that is an important thing, that we have enough sense to let our lives be guided by the prophecies. In this light, now I don't mean to be a financial counselor at all, but for you who have invested in gold and silver as a hedge against inflation and all, you should read James, who says, "Go to now, ye rich, weep and howl for the woes that have come upon you." You know, you've bought up the gold and silver as a hedge in the last days, but, you know, it's going to be worthless. It's going to be cankered and all, and you're going to lose your investment. So, on the other hand, if you read the book of Revelation, you'll find that a quart of wheat is going to be selling for $50. So you might take some commodities on wheat and corn for... If you want to be the richest man in the tribulation, something to watch, because the Bible does speak about the shortage of the grains in the last days. But Daniel, a prophecy buff, had been reading Jeremiah, and no doubt had been reading Isaiah also. Because according to Josephus, Daniel brought to Cyrus the prophecies of Isaiah and showed to him where he had been named in the prophecies of Isaiah. Now, back in Leviticus chapter 24, God gave the law of the Sabbaths of the land. When you come in the land that the Lord thy God shall give to thee, then you're to plant the land for 6 years, and in the seventh year, you're not to plow it, you're not to plant it, you're to give the land rest, that the land might have its Sabbath. Every seventh year is Sabbath for the land. In the 25th chapter of Leviticus, there is a prophecy concerning that they would not obey that commandment, and therefore the Lord will drive you out of the land in order that he might give the land its Sabbaths. The kingdom of Israel under Saul, to the time of Zedekiah and the taking of the Judah into captivity, was 490 years. According to the prophecy of Leviticus, God will leave them in captivity until the land has had her Sabbaths, and thus the 490 years of a kingdom would come out to 70 years of Sabbaths that the land had coming. And it is interesting that that's just how long they were in captivity. But realizing the 70 years were over, Cyrus, the king of Persia, in order that the word of the Lord by Jeremiah, the mouth of Jeremiah, might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, and he made this proclamation. Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. And who is there among you of all of his people, his God be with him, let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of Jehovah God of Israel. For he is God. Now it is, here the grammatic text, they've tried to indicate it in the parentheses there. He is the Lord God of Israel, which is in Jerusalem. He is the God, is the idea. It isn't that he is a localized God. It isn't the sense of his being a local deity, which was a popular concept in those days. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver, with gold, with goods, and with animals, beside the freewill offerings for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. So the proclamation now by Cyrus to release the people of Israel from their captivity. Turn to Isaiah chapter 44, beginning with verse 28. Back in verse 24 of chapter 44, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the one that formed thee. I am the Lord that makes all things, that stretched out the heavens, spread abroad the earth by myself. Thus saith this Lord of Cyrus, verse 28. He is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. You say, well, so what? Well, this happens to be 170 years before, 180 years actually, before the decree went forth. It happened to be 150 years or so before Cyrus was born, that the prophet Isaiah, through the word of the Lord, calls the guy by name. Now explain that one. One of the greatest apologetics that the Bible is indeed the word of God is the internal evidences of inspiration, and this is one of them, where the Lord, through the prophet, spoke of events of the future with interesting details, and in this case, even naming individuals, naming Cyrus, and then bragging about the fact that I have named you and you don't even know me. Verse 4 of 45, chapter 45, for Israel, mine elect, I have called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though you have not known me. So God is talking about the guy before he's ever born, saying, look, I named you. I am the one that gave you your name. God knows a lot more about you than you imagine that he does. You are of interest to God. Jesus spoke about how that there is not a sparrow that falls to the ground, but what your Father is not aware of it. Now, if your Father is aware of sparrows, how much more is he aware of you, his child? And so here in chapter 45, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. He calls him his shepherd. Now he calls him his anointed, whose right hand I have held, to subdue the nations before him. I have been his strength. I'm the one that helped him to subdue the nations. I will loose the loins of kings. As you read the book of Daniel, at the time of the fall of Babylon, the night that Babylon fell and Belshazzar was having that great party and drunken brawl in the palace, and ordered the vessels that his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple in Jerusalem to be brought into this banqueting house that they might drink their wine out of the sanctified vessels of the temple. And as they were drinking the wine and praising the gods of gold and silver, suddenly there came over on the wall a hand that was writing on the plaster words that he did not understand. But he was terrified, and the Bible says the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. His knees began to shake. He was so terrified. But notice, the joints of his loins were loosed. God said concerning Cyrus, I will loose the loins of kings. Fulfilled. 170 years later. The Lord also said, I will open before him the two levy gates. Within the city of Babylon, the river Euphrates dissected the city of Babylon. And of course, the Persian troops diverted the flow of the Euphrates so that those that were besieging the city, when the water of the river receded, they were able to come in on the river bank inside the city, these huge walls, humongous walls, 300 feet high, 87 feet across the top. They were able to come in under these walls on the banks of the river Euphrates. However, within the city of Babylon, there were also walls lining the river Euphrates that had these large gates that would be shut at night and locked. But according to the historian Herodotus, this particular night that Cyrus made his invasion, those gates were left open. As the Lord said 170 years earlier, I will open to you the two levy gates. Those were the gates in the center of the city that led directly into the palace. The gates shall not be shut. Isaiah could not know that except by divine inspiration. And God goes on to say, I will go before you. I will make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass. I'll cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of the secret places. And of course, when Persia conquered Babylon, they conquered the treasure store, the wealth of the world. But the purpose, that you may know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. I'll do these things that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel. So coming back now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, Babylon has been conquered. In order that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled, these prophecies, he's made this decree to allow the people of Israel to return that they might build the house. And he realizes, I've been commissioned by God. He has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. God's given me this commandment, this charge. Now, there is a lot of talk about the 10 lost tribes of Israel. The northern kingdom comprised of the 10 northern tribes, taken captives by the Assyrians. And there are those that would try to trace their wanderings or their being repopulated on into Europe, on into England, so that they seek to identify the Anglo-Saxons as actually the 10, what they call, lost tribes of Israel. And they use such logic as the Danes, who are known as Danish, or the Danish people. The word ish in Hebrew is man. So Danish, they are Dan's men, or they are from the tribe of Dan. And thus they try to identify some of the various Anglo-Saxon peoples as to their tribes. Of course, you have Swedish, and I don't know of what tribe Swed would have been from. English, but they say, well, you see, it has the ish on the end. Well, so does fool. And that's what it is, foolish.
We'll return with more of our study of Ezra in our next lesson, as Pastor Chuck Smith continues with The Proclamation of Cyrus. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of Ezra. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May the Lord bless you and cause you to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May you increase in your understanding and knowledge of Him. May you be freed from that power of darkness, the corruption that is in the world through lust. And may you grow up in Him in all things, being strengthened. And may you increase day by day in His richness, in His love, in His grace, in His word, in Jesus' name.
We'd like to invite all men to pay attention to this year's men's retreat entitled Switched On, Living in the Current, on DVD with bonus MP3. Join Pastor John Corson.
Dad, you touch the stuff you shouldn't touch, and you do the things that you shouldn't do, and it's not just going to cause you pain. Your whole family is going to be aching. Your whole family is going to pay the price. Your sons and daughters and grandkids, you will see what you do impact and affect them positively or negatively.
Watch and listen to Calvary Chapel pastors as they teach men the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, gospel communication, and the responsibilities of a godly man. For more information, please call The Word for Today at 1-800-272-WORD or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.